South Carolina, but don't hold that against them. I had to say that. I'm sorry. We have a southern brother in here. I thought to not, you know, to be serious and not even get into this, but there are three guys here from South Carolina, and they call themselves TSB, the Southern Brotherhood, and you have to live there to join. You know, and so it's like, why? You know? But yeah, Tony here is a good speaker. He's been speaking for a couple of years now. Each time he speaks, he gets substantially better. And I would have to say that as far as I'm concerned, Tony has one of the greatest hearts for the Lord. When you hear Tony speak, you know that he's speaking from his heart about what he knows in the Lord. And this is very important. Our hearts to the Lord are very important. So, with further ado, here's Tony McCurry.
Thank you, Mark.
Okay.
I thought we came to our life and when we're on email thread. The reason I say that, we come up with this TSB because the four of us have an email thread that we go along a dialogue every day. It started out TSB as three Southern Brothers, and then we have Mike. So it's just one of those fun things we do. We had to say Southern Brotherhood to throw Cecil into the crowd and anybody else from the South. Mike needs help. Anybody up north to join in with him. But thank you, Mike, for the kind words. And it means a lot. Let's start this off with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this gathering, for this people, for this conference. Lord, we thank you for this the day that you are with us, Lord, that you are with us in body. Lord, we thank you for what you've done for us, what you're doing, and for the indwelling of the Spirit that you have given us. And Lord, we ask that you be with each and every speaker as we go through this weekend and deliver each and every message to the praise and glory of you, and for your message to be spoken, rightly divided, and for just your glory to be put forth, which in Christ's name I pray. Amen. The message I came up with to present is the present evil world. And the reason I came up with that is because, well, as Mike said, the world is getting progressively terrible. I mean, whether it's government or whatever, TV or such. I got a handout that Candy's about to give out for at least one per family, because I don't know if I have enough for every each individual. But go ahead and pass them out, buddy. And what this is a list that I put together of iniquities that the Apostle Paul, in his 14 books, all the iniquities that he encountered during his time in his sermons. And you can tell that it's pretty well in depth, but I know that I'm probably missing quite a few iniquities. And after you put the suffixes on the end of them, I come up with like 122. That comes to be a lot of iniquities that the apostle pretty much dealt with his time on the earth after he received his message from the Lord. He went from persecuting the church to being the headship, or the leader, I'm sorry, not the headship, but the leader of the growing of the body of the church. But this present evil world, I'll start out with John 14:30, okay? And this is Christ. It says, "Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of prince of the world is going to come. And he's going to be pretty much in control. We know that Christ right now is hid in God. We know that in our day that we live, Christ and God is silent. But in Galatians 1:3-4, and I'm going to be going through certain dispensations, but my message as a whole is concerning the evil age, the present evil age, because when you look at an age, you have dispensations within an age. So this being the present evil age encompasses pretty much the New Testament to today and until the Lord comes back. And it could possibly be go farther than that, but I'm just using this into my study. Galatians 1:3-4 says, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present world," or aeon, which is age, this present age, "according to the will of the God and the Father." While this is the dispensation of grace, and God's purpose during it is to gather out his body, the church, the world of which the church is being gathered is called the present evil age. You notice the word "delivered" is an axiro. Axiro is to tear out, to release. That God might release, to take us out of this world, and the evil, that the paneros, is hurtful, diseased, calamitous, grievous, malicious. If you would look on the list, you're going to see those names on your list. That list has got 104 different lines, but within those lines are the different suffixes that increases it even stronger. Like I said before, you can look around today after looking at that list, or while you look at that list this weekend, take it home with you and look at it. You can see it on TV. You can see it in our government. You can see it in your neighborhood. It's everywhere in this world. Age, aeon. It's the Messianic period. It's the age, the course. And it's the beginning of, or while the world began, or without end. In Hebrews 1:1-2, Ron pointed out to me last night that I kind of overlooked during my studies, but it's a very important fact. God, who in many portions, and I'm going to read this converted from the CB. I don't have my Bible with me, so you're going to be reading it as the Holy Bible says it, but I'm going to be reading it from the CB notes as it's been retranslated according to the CB. "God, who in many portions and in many ways spake in times past to the Father and by the prophets, and to spake unto us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made or prepared the worlds," or ages. God made all these different ages for his reason. As Mike said, God has a purpose in all this. His purpose is to get a person that believes God, that follows God, and is faithful to God. And that is the job of the mystery, for people to study the Word rightly divided and understand God's Word the way God intends it to be. Not in a lot of your cornerstone churches that just preach the Ten Commandments and such that are ill-wrought. Clarence Larkin said that this evil age is seen in the character of its civilization, and after over 2,000 years of gospel preaching, the world is in a worse state in proportion to its life than it was in the days of Christ. That's a shame. It seems headed towards some great crisis. The spirit of disobedience is in the air. It is strangely becoming unmanageable and perverse and determined to break away from all authority, law, and falling away from God and the principles of scriptural teaching. You don't have to look far to see that. Concerning this present evil age, how are we to account for this? Has God lost control over the world? Or is he permitting some other agency to have its way? We know that God is silent. And in his dealing with mankind, there are no longer signs and miracles as there were in the times of Christ. And the Apostle Paul's early ministry. And the answer is that there are two opposing spirits at work in the world in this age. We have the Holy Spirit, who is engaged in gathering out the elect body of the church, and the spirit of evil. These are spoken of in 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The Spirit which is of God and the Spirit of the world in 1 John 4:5-6, they that are of the world therefore speak they of the world, and of the world heareth them. We can see that in the entertainment industry. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error. We can say this today because we can see the truth that's within this message. No, this is not dispensational to our dispensation. This is a prior dispensation. But the book of John is so true for today. It was written after the book of Acts, so we can use it, I feel, as some truth for today, because it's ever going. The Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error is the source of all strong delusions that's spoken of in 2 Thessalonians 2:9-11. It says, even him who's coming after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie. This is a prophetic statement in Thessalonians. This is a statement that hasn't happened yet. Or let's just say it's a statement that's in the process of happening now. In 1 Thessalonians 7, Paul says to the Thessalonians that they are examples to all the believing Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place, your faith in God for it to be spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. God entrusted the Thessalonians because they believed his message and they put it forth just as well as the Ephesians. The Ephesians was one of the churches that God was favoring. Paul was favored because he was with them for months and years delivering the message and they listened. The strong delusions that are in the world today, and as the end of the age draws near, are being rapidly multiplied, and it requires the utmost vigilance not to be caught in its net. Just as the church is indwelling and guided by the Holy Spirit, we see in Romans 8, 14 through 17, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, where we cry, Abba, Father. In 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified, that we may also be glorified together. So we see the world outside the church is indwelt and guided by the spirit of the world. In 1 Corinthians 2:12 again, just to get the meaning, now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The unholy spirit, and as the Holy Spirit is a person, so is the spirit of the world is a person. In Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, this age. This aeon is the same age that's spoken of in Galatians. We wrestle against the rulers of the darkness of this age daily, today, and against spiritual wickedness in the upon heavens, which is a study all by itself. The body is being indwelt with the Spirit in Ephesians 2:19-22. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners. And we know that Paul's speaking here that he's leading toward the Gentiles being grafted in, but we're no longer considered a Gentile. Ye are built upon, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built in together for an habitation of God through the through thee with the article spirit. Mm-hmm. We are indwelled with the spirit. We are sealed with the spirit that Mike was talking about earlier. Now Paul, speaking to the faithful in Ephesians 2, 1 and 2, and you have he quickened by his spirit, who were dead in trespasses and sins. See, before this, our several generations before us that were Gentiles at that time had no hope. You can tell some of your friends that attend traditional churches, and they think that their forefathers had hope. I'm sorry, but our forefathers in this, before this day and time, they are dead and gone with no hope. Who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit, the evil spirit, that now energizes in the children of disobedience. We can see children again. We can see, and when I say children here, I'm not talking 2, 3, 4, 7 year old kids. I'm talking 15 to 21. Children of disobedience. I don't even need to get into that because we all know how they get caught up into the hip thing, the different worldly items that they get caught up in. From this we see that the spirit of the world or age is Satan. Or we can say that the mystery of iniquity is as strong today as it was in Paul's day. In 2 Thessalonians 2, 7-12, it speaks of the spirit of iniquity. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. We know who he is. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. Again, in Thessalonians, this is prophetic. It hasn't happened, but it will. And shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him who's coming after the working of Satan. Even him who's coming after the work of Satan. Wait a minute, that's two different people. Even him who's coming after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. So that him is followers of Satan. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, if you look on these charts, you'll see deceivableness and unrighteousness. Because they receive not the love of the truth. It was put forth for them, but they didn't receive it. That they might be saved, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusions. Here's the delusions. That they should believe a lie. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Again, refer to the chart. Look at unrighteousness. All the words are there. Question. Can a body member be troubled with any of these fleshly iniquities? Yes. Yes, we can. Can one who doesn't know or accept Christ live with these fleshly iniquities? Yes, they can. Man's day, a religious life, a careful observance of the law of God, and performance of religious duties proceeding from love and reverence for the divine character and commands of Christian obedience. This dispensation, which is the present evil age, is spoken of in the Scriptures as man's day. Writing to the Corinthians, Paul says, "But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment." The margin reads, "man's day." In 1 Corinthians 4:3, "This then is the day of the glorification of man, the day in which the works of man are exalted and praised." Does that sound familiar to today? Yeah, I know Corinthians is a pre-dispensational book, but there's so much similarity, you can still say that is for today as far as seeing that happening. In the CB, man's judgment, is the day, man's day, the day in which man is examining and judging, and God is silent. That's man's day. This is man's day to party, and buddy, is he doing it. If you think Sodom and Gomorrah was a party, that was just a little kiddie party compared to what's going on out there today. There are three classes of people spoken of in the New Testament: the children of God and the children of the devil. And in this, you notice I didn't go to three, but there's just two. Hold on. In this, the children of God are manifest in the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Here, all who doeth not righteousness are classed as children of the devil. And in Ephesians 2:2, "Where in a time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in children of disobedience." There's no possibility of union between them. Therefore, this is them, the children of God, the children of the disobedience. Therefore, there cannot be any such thing as the brotherhood of man. With popularity understood is the union of all religious bodies and sects, such as Christians, Jews, atheists, Unitarians, Mohammedans, Buddhists, Confucius. How many times have you heard there's more than one way to God? The brotherhood of man reeks in such denominations that are allowing, supposedly Christian denominations, that are allowing gays. Because this is a modern day. You know, this is the day in which, no, they're okay. You know, the leader of the Catholic Church today, the Pope, supposedly the spokesman of God, okay, says, "It's not for me to judge these people. Who am I to judge them?" Well, I'm sorry, but if you're a spokesman for God, you're supposed to say that it's wrong. Hello. Amen. The word disobedience means obstinate rebellion. How futile then is the effort of the children of disobedience to make the earth a more comfortable habitation for man, and bring in a millennium of federation of all religious bodies when the bulk of mankind is in obstinate rebellion against God and will not have His Son reign over them, but are spending every energy to produce a godless civilization and make way for Satan's masterpiece, the man of sin. In Revelation 12:9, it says that Satan is the deceiver of the world. We know that. Everybody in this room knows that. With the mega churches today, it's all about entertainment. I love my mega church. I love my church. If I go, I might get lucky and get a big screen TV on Father's Day. I can take my kids and they can go to Florida where they rented 3 motels. Took 60 tour buses to take them down there. Spent over $3 million. It's all money. But the good side of that is that maybe one of those kids learns Christ. Those churches are teaching 10 commandments left and right, but God help, they do bring forth people that love the Lord. And they will have life. The deceitfulness of sin in Hebrews 3:13. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And the deceitfulness of unrighteousness in Thessalonians 2:9, who's coming after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, they receive not the love of truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, and they shall believe a lie. He causes this. Satan causes this. Exercise of the imagination and by strong delusions and seducing spirits. He tries to make man believe that his plans for the world's betterment are right. His advances for minions point to the great increase in scientific knowledge and invention, the great advance in methods of worldwide communication by land, sea, and air, and various inventions that lighten labor and add to domestic comforts such as entertainment industries, video games. One video game just recently came out, the first day made $800 million. And it's not a good video game. That just shows you how many children of disobedience are enjoying the worldly trash. TV programs that are comically introduced, such as Wickedness and Walking Dead, witchcraft, and homosexual lewdness, and claim that the world is growing better because we are living in a, quote, modern country. Not only because of these, but because of great philanthropies and men that have founded colleges, libraries, hospitals, and great charitable institutions. Forgetting that these things only tend to the physical helpfulness of man and have little to do with its moral character. And overlooking the fact that in spite of all this advancement of civilization, the world today sits on the mouth of a volcano whose interior is foaming cauldron of social unrest, moral decay, and commercial rottenness. When the God of this age discovered that he could not stamp out the early church by persecution, he changed his tactics. and now seeks to neutralize their efforts by seduction. God knows all this is going to happen. God knows the beginning from the end. Satan's method is to deliver her efforts for the evangelizing of the world to method of social betterment. Sounds familiar, don't it? And thus making the world a better place to live in, forgetting that, but in reality, the natural man cannot be spiritually saved. Culture, neither can the world. Therefore, all efforts to save the world by social betterment are futile. And then we have the third child spoken of, Ephesians 1:5. Children adopted by Jesus Christ Himself, having predestinated us unto the adoption of Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, when understanding the mysterious message, this child of God, this adopted child of God, realizes that he has been chosen from before the foundation of the world and strives to know epignosko God with a knowledge, epignosis, an in-depth knowledge that surpasses anything taught by traditional learning of man by rightly dividing God's Word. After looking at your spirit of iniquity words, when Paul delivers these iniquity messages, he follows up with instructions for dealing with them. You know, Tuesday night, Bob spoke and said that we have rules to follow. The Apostle Paul gives us our rules to follow. They're not commandments, but they are rules. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but that is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Remember the list? Yeah, we're just as susceptible there, but God will not tempt us no more than we can stand or withstand, that ye may be able to bear it. In Galatians 6:7-10, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh, of the flesh shall reap corruption. That flesh will die. That flesh will seek corruption. It will rot. The body member will rest. His flesh might deteriorate, but he will have a resurrection. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good will to all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And again, Ephesians 2:2-3, wherefore in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the spirit of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we also had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. In Ephesians 5:7 it says, be not ye therefore partakers with them. And 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. In Ephesians 5:15-16, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the times, here it is, because the days are evil. Colossians 3:9-17, I love it. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man. There's a new man here that has never before been proclaimed in God's Word. In Ephesians and Colossians, it's a central point to the mysterion and truth. Having put on a new man, a whole new being, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, sin, Christian nor circumcision, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do you. And above all these, above everything that was just mentioned, it says put on charity, but we all know that charity in Scripture means love. You can look it up. Which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. To which ye are also called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Christ. Giving thanks to the God and Father by him. In Ephesians 4:17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, or vanity, that word's in the list. In 4:30-31, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, that's our job, is to not grieve the Holy Spirit. Whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That malice is actually a stronger word than bitterness, wrath, and anger and clamor. So we use malice to fight off the bitterness, anger, and clamor. Just make it detestable within you to even have these fleshly thoughts or feelings. Body members are instructed in Ephesians to put on something. Ephesians 6. I've been doing these on my Tuesday night studies, and I'm about to finish up with them. It's put on the whole armor. The complete furnished armor of God, the panoplia, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, every type of work that he has. And this armor, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against wickedness in high places. In the apparatus, the heavens. Because of this, take unto you the whole armor, that you may be able to withstand. understand in that evil day, the evil day, same word, panoria, and all things worked out to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. Take it inside you, into your gut, your loins. Have it in the strongest part of your body, because that's where your strength is. It's in your gut. And having on the breastplate of righteousness to protect your heart. This breastplate is Christ. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Remember those? Anger, malice. We are to wear the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, above it all, take the shield of faith. Mm-hmm. It's Christ. Wherefore you shall be able to stand to quench all the fiery arrows, darts, words of Satan. The poneros, evil, which makes the state even more of not just Satan, but of all his iniquities that we as body members deal with on a continual minute, hour, and daily basis. In 6:17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit. That God gives you the knowledge to understand His Word. That God gives you the perseverance to endure the world. That God keeps Christ on you. That the shield stays around you and on you continually. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this day. And Lord, for every person here at this conference. And Lord, we ask that you be with us and be with the speakers. And we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your shield. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do. For it's in Christ's precious holy name I pray. Amen.
Amen.